All right, lads, welcome back to Inside MC, the podcast where I sit down with an amazing guest every single week. And this week, I'm joined with someone who is very cool, who owns something that's a little bit similar to the Crafted Together Awards. I assume a lot of people have heard about that by now. But this thing has been around for a lot longer, is possibly a lot cooler, to be honest, and is hosted live. Today, I'm joined with Air.
Hello. Hi. Yeah, really excited to be here.
How are you doing today?
Today specifically, I am knackered, but generally everything is great. It's, you know, it's the build up to Cubed. Everything is coming along really nicely and everyone's excited.
It's funny because we were just chatting before the podcast. So like both of us, of all days to be tired, it's today when we have the recording. So that's always
Isn't it
fun.
Just...
I mean, like I just had a really bad night's sleep last night and I was kind of been awake, and then just an hour before I just got hit with like bang. And I was like, oh my God, I feel so like droopy, I guess is the word. Is that the word? I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll go
absolutely. No, and exactly the same today. It's been non-stop, and then you message me again the recording. I'm like, oh yes, it is time, and the tiredness has hit, but we are back, we are going, so let's get going.
Well, before we get into the waffle here, I always like to give the introduction for you to introduce yourself. So who are you?
Yes.
What do you do? Because you know you kind of touched on the name there, but I never actually mentioned a name in my intro. Who are you? What do you do? And if you have a fun fact either about yourself, a fun fact that you know in general, floor's yours.
Oh, okay. So my name is AirTV, or Mason. I'm the founder of Cubed, which is probably the longest running virtual Minecraft convention. So convention inside Minecraft. I work and run a production company. So lots of filming, podcasting, funnily enough, not myself, but I film a lot of podcasts. And a fun fact about myself. That is a great question. I wish I'd prepared for this.
But it can just be one you know as well. It doesn't have to be about yourself.
That's even harder.
Give us a fun fact about CubedCon.
Okay, fun fact about CubedCon. I think since we've started in 2012, not including this year, we'll have raised over $45,000 for charity.
Jeez, that's amazing.
Yeah, really, really happy with that number. Obviously keen to keep it going. But it's a bit of a weird one to look back, because when we started, you know, the ball was rolling, you know, really slowly as it would when you're starting something. But last year alone, you know, we added more than $15,000 to that total. So we pretty much, in the last couple of years, more than doubled and tripled our numbers, which has been amazing.
We'll jump in straight into the CubedCon stuff, and we can learn a little bit more about you later on. Just while it's on topic, we might as well talk about it. So how much did you raise in 2024?
2024, I believe it was around £16,000, and that is money to special effect, but we also donate to One Tree Planted to plant some trees for every VIP donation.
So is that only the VIP donation specifically?
So that's, you know, VIPs for the trees, but then everyone else is, you know, people that just donate directly to special effect on our behalf. It's all our sponsors, all our booth owners, exhibitors, kind of everyone that gets involved.
I sponsored last year. I'm not sure if you remember.
I'll be honest, I didn't organize the sponsors last year. So that's really bad of me not to know. So thank you very much.
No, yeah, I was a sponsor last year, but this year I've got a lot more going on that isn't on the sponsorship side. But we'll talk about that anyways.
Yeah, no, you did mention it's exciting stuff.
It is. What? So over the years, obviously you mentioned that you've raised about 45K. Podcast is coming out. What time does CubedCon start on Friday?
I believe for VIP Ultras, it's starting at 5 o'clock UK time, UTC or BST. But I think general admission is going to be around 8 o'clock, and that's when the live stream is going to get started as well.
Oh, because I have a panel at 8:30, I believe.
So it might be 7 o'clock, and because we'll do our little opening ceremony, and then you'll be jumping straight into it as our first person, probably.
Yeah, gosh. Well, if you're listening to this podcast on a day it releases, let's just assume it opens in 3 hours, because this podcast comes out at 4 p.m. So CubedCon will be open in 3 hours, and it'll be open the entire weekend until Sunday night BST, I believe. And then the server stays open for a little bit on Monday, doesn't it? But there's not really anything going on, and then it shuts.
Yeah, we'll be running a bit late on the Sunday, and then the server stays open, I believe, for the rest of the week that we've got it. There won't be the live stream, but we'll still be playing games. You know, you can still hop on and have a look around.
Look at the booths and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah, exactly.
So back in 2023, when I first found out about CubedCon, I had, this is a Naf, or Naf on Naf, God, I think
yeah,
I remember it the first time. Naf, oh my God. I had Naf on the podcast because they're the first person I got introduced to. I can't really remember how or why, but we had a great podcast. And obviously they could only
social
answer.
Media chat.
Yeah, that's it. And they can only answer so much about the event because, you know, they're not the owner of it. And also, you know, some things may be different in the last 2 years. So a basic question here is why? Why did you start CubedCon?
Why did we start Cubed? So it was back in 2012. I think George and I, the other founder, George Tekon, we were about 15, 16 at the time. So we, you know, Minecraft was in full swing. We absolutely loved it. And I think at that point, Minecon was just getting started. So we weren't, obviously being kind of at that age, didn't have the money, didn't have, and especially the flights and everything, we weren't able to go. So we were looking for alternatives. You know, we had a build server in Minecraft. We were making YouTube videos, trying to be YouTubers, as I think everyone was that day. And we saw, you know, a couple of people had the idea to create, I'd love to say we were the original idea, we weren't, but we saw a couple of people popping up with a virtual Minecraft convention. And we looked at it and thought, okay, that's pretty good. We could probably do a little bit better. We had a bit more experience with making content and building stuff. And because of that, we knew a few more people that could be guests. So we decided to do it ourselves. We put a forum post out on Planet Minecraft that night, and it exploded the next day with hundreds of replies of people wanting to have booths to show off their projects. You know, we were getting all the YouTubers involved back in the day. You know, it's like 2013 was like the heyday of Yogscast and Skyders Minecraft, all of that lot. So yeah, kind of a happy accident. We just kind of decided we wanted to do it, and the power of internet forums blew it up.
It's so funny. Every single time I bring someone on podcast, when I ask them how they got into content creation or how they came up with this idea, it's like, I saw this and it was cool, but I knew I could do a better job of it. And it's kind of the same with the podcast. Like, I used to listen to the Jagmay Happy Hour podcast, and I didn't think I could do better than him. I knew I could do what he does in Minecraft, which is his main part of the podcast is interviewing people. So I was like, you know what? I can do that. Minecraft's a fire. And now 3 years later, I'm still running Insane MC. And like, what, over 10 years later, you're still running KubeCon. It's insane.
It's just, I think it's the passion to keep doing it. But like, I definitely think in the early days, the community especially was still exploding. So we obviously got very lucky that it took off as it did. But just, you know, the power of networking and meeting all the people we did between, I'd say, 2012 and 2013/14, you know, it was everyone that we got to meet that really helped us make it explode. Like some of the content creators we had back in the day, and we still do have lots of great ones. Some of the ones back in the day when, you know, you would have the average Minecraft content, like big creators were having upwards of 10 million subscribers. It was insane.
I, for the sake of my question here, and of course, if you're happy to answer it, we're going to ignore the charity. Just for the sake of this certain point here, we're just going to pretend the charity doesn't exist and it's just a convention.
Yeah.
If you're happy to answer this, you're working at a loss every year, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Charity aside, for that specific point.
No, all we keep in our little coffer, our pocket at the end of the year, is just to make sure that we've got enough to keep our website online and a few little bits to tick over to the next year. And that is it. So yeah, I think since we started in 2012, the only money that's ever been taken out, and I'm pretty sure this is right, I could be wrong, but is £200, and that was in the first year. George and I each bought ourselves a Blue Yeti microphone. And in over 10 years, that's all we've ever been able to take out, because as you say, yeah, we do run, we don't break even, we do realistically run at a loss, but everyone's a volunteer, so that's very helpful.
But that's what I mean, as in, like, for instance, with I mentioned it there, the Crafters Together Awards, everyone working on a project is a volunteer, and I'm very, very grateful for it, but we're working at a loss because we're not taking in sponsorship, especially because I just don't and deal with all of that. But like, you know, we have to pay for the server, we have to pay for Axiom for the building, we have to pay for the website, domain. So it's not like a crazy amount of money lost, but at the same time, it's still like, you know, we're not earning money, so we're losing money. But in your sense, and it's, again, that's why I specifically said not involved in charity, because that's not a loss, is that like, financially, the runnings of things, you're losing the money. Even just by going live, or like, you know, people taking time off work and all that kind of jazz. But it's all for a great cause, which is really amazing, honestly.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'd say it does as the events got bigger, the I guess the loss has gotten a little bit bigger every year, especially as we've started doing stuff in person. I think the first year we did the in-person studio, George and I, out of our own pockets, we put you know, a decent bit of money into getting all the props and the set build together. It didn't come out of the donations, so you know, every year we do put in some of our own money just to make sure that we really can make the production as good as possible.
To be honest, I don't really think people would, and I know like you probably know this, but I don't think people would mind too much if you took out like a certain amount from the donations to put towards the thing, because at the end of the day, the money you take out from the donations, you're not taking it from charity, you're putting it back into the event to raise even more the next year.
No, absolutely. I do think it's one of those things where George and I every year go, let's let's get that donation total as big as possible and spend as little of that money on running the event. So we decide it's a better idea to spend our own money because that's not real compared to the Minecraft cube money.
You get what I mean? As in, like, it wouldn't, I don't think it'd be bad if you did take out a card, like, personally, because it works for the charity. But I see why.
Yeah, I think the big thing about that for us is just the transparency of it, because obviously everyone knows their money goes to charity. So if we were doing things like that, we just need to be very clear that this is what's happening, just to keep it all above board.
So what are the two? So obviously you did a bit for the trees, to plant a tree thing this year. But what's the main charity that you fundraise for?
So we fundraise for a UK-based charity called Special Effect. They're actually based in around Oxfordshire. And essentially what they do is with donations from ours and other, lots of other places, they create specialized gaming equipment, technology softwares that allow people with disabilities to be able to play video games. So whether that's, custom controllers or eye tracking methods to be able to play video games, that's what they're all about.
Is there a specific reason, like maybe something that's close to your heart or something that happened for you to be raising for this charity specifically?
So I do think our first year that we ever raised for charity, the name of it's going to escape. No, we raised money for Extra Life 1 year. I think it was our first year of raising money for charity, because Cubed in 2012, I believe 2013, wasn't for charity. And we actually adopted the charity later on because we thought it was the right thing to do. And Extra Life being an American charity, all well and good. Again, they've got an incredible cause, but we wanted to do something a bit closer to home. And George and I, when Insomnia and other Minecraft conventions, even Minecon in 2015, were more common, and especially the earlier Insomnias, you had entire Minecraft sections, we met some of the team at Special Effect.
Sorry.
Pardon?
I said before Insomnia went to shit, sorry.
Oh, yeah, before Insomnia went to shit, yeah, unfortunately. When it was good, back in the day, they had Minecraft sections, and we met some of the team at Special Effect, who were very lovely. We got introduced, and we decided, having met them, that they were the right people to work with. And, every year we see videos, and we speak to the team of all the amazing work they do, and it definitely is the right choice for us.
That's really sweet. I'm glad it has, like, a nice little backstory behind it, because I run, like, bi-monthly events for charity. And like I do this thing where I raise for two charities and I move on to the next one. Like the current one that I'm doing is Macmillan, so I did one for Macmillan, and I'll do another one in November for Macmillan. And then like before that we did Make a Wish and stuff like that. Like, but Macmillan's the first one that's kind of like actually, well, Papyrus kind of was, but this one's more close to home. So it's like the first time I'm actually fundraising for something that like is got a full-on reason for it, if that makes sense, other than the fact that I just like the charity. So it's kind of nice that you guys have this backstory that you met them and you actually interacted with them before deciding like, yes, we're gonna do this every year.
Yeah, we've had a few different contacts over the years, as you would, but I know some of the team have been there for basically the last 10 years that we've been working with them. And being able to see the videos and the progression of the tech they've developed over the years, especially every time obviously the donations go through, we get lovely messages from the team, and it's really heartwarming to see that the donation is obviously being put to good use. And I think as well, just the fact obviously we've got a big American audience as an event, but it's nice having a charity in the UK that is a bit more close to home for at least the team that are producing the event, because it does have that meaning to it.
So in regards to like the convention, I mean, doing it volunteer and raising money for charity, and it's such a lot of work that gets put into it every single year. How have you, and if it's for the charity, then I feel like that's a pretty obvious answer, so if you have another answer, that'd be great, but no pressure. How do you stay motivated every single year to just keep doing this, because it's like it's a big workload to put in, like it's a lot of time and effort, especially 3 days?
So leading up to the event, it has dipped and flowed. I think around 2017 to 2019, I personally wasn't involved with the event. It kind of ran with the team without me. And we've had, some other people in the team, George included, dip out and dip in over the years. Since about 2020, though, George and I have really got back involved, and it's nice to see that the numbers have grown with that. I think for me personally, I don't know the best way to phrase it, but I just really enjoy solving problems and project management. So obviously, the charity and everything else is a really lovely thing to work on, but just being able to, there's something I love Minecraft servers and making servers back in the day and building and all that sort of stuff. I used to be on a Minecraft build team, so having just it's a pet project to work on and chug away on, doing the branding, building the website, and organizing all the volunteers, there's just a really big level of personal satisfaction getting to work on something like this that we've got full control over. We can build something, and it's nice to see it succeed every year. So I really do think beyond the charity and everything else, it just is the personal satisfaction of having a project.
So in 2023, all I did was attend KubeCon. I just showed up, tweeted about it, took a bunch of screenshots at like different booths I'd gone to. Yep. Last year, I decided to sponsor it, which was cool.
Yes.
It was very fun. And obviously, like, I'm glad all the money went straight to charity. Alongside that, I also had a panel with the Withering Effect. We talked about podcasts and all that kind of jazz. This year, however, and just in case you don't know too much about it, which is completely fine, because I know you're very busy with your life, is that Inside MC has a very, very eventful KubeCon. So, Friday, KubeCon opens. This podcast comes out at 4 p.m. So that's already the first KubeCon thing. We have a guest announcement for just a different guest. Oh, no, that's actually out. Yeah, I don't know what time that was out. And then we have the panel at 8:30 p.m. GMT, or BST, sorry, with the two owners of Cube Championships. Basically, with just like a big announcement, which we've kind of already announced, but we're going to announce it like officially at KubeCon, so that's fun. On the Saturday, there is something I'm doing on a Saturday, but I've lost it now. Oh, no. Okay, Saturday, we have a booth. That MC has a booth.
Yep.
Which is very cool. And then on the Sunday, I'm taking part in Narasa Studios game show.
I saw this. That's going to be a lot of fun. I've never done it. I always watch it every year because I always feel it's unfair to dip in and do it when there's other people that want to. But I'm very jealous.
I don't think you realize I have been trying to do this for so long. Like, I have tweeted about it on Inside MC. I have constantly talked to Twitty and harassed Twitty to try and get me a place. And now I even bought them on the podcast. And then finally, I'm getting to play Rasta Studios. I'm so excited. I actually genuinely can't wait. Hold on, actually, do I have it in my calendar what I'm doing on a Saturday? Sorry, carry on. Apologies.
It's going to be such... I mean, that game show every year is so eventful. And, you know, they're putting more and more in each year to change it up. So I don't know what to expect. But Rasta are going to be down in the office with us in the UK. The last couple of years, we've always, as a team, and Rasta take over the stream for about 2 hours on the Sunday. We all sit together in the office. We take a break from all the hard work as the event and the stream comes to a close. And we just sit and watch the game show. And I tell you, I've never had a more... I like sports, but I'm not going to sit in front of a TV and watch a football game and get really into it. Whereas there's something about that Rasta game show that just gets everyone really hyped.
I'll be specifically calling you out, like, yeah. Okay, be honest. If you know, you can be biased. It's okay. I don't mind. What team are you rooting for?
That's the bad thing. You're gonna have to tell me who the teams are.
Okay. I'm on the blue team. That's all you need to know.
Fine, blue team it is.
No, the teams blue... are, so me, Camelot Warrior, and Rave Zeon on the blue team. Spooky Boba Orbs.
Yeah.
Boba Orbs, sorry. And then the orange team is Rex Cypher, Marshy Monarch, and Lynxy Liam, Magic Tabbies.
See, I am going to have to choose blue team because, you know, some of the people on the blue team have been regulars for Cubed over the years, and I've got to be biased towards that.
I mean, yeah, you're literally on the podcast for me. If you had said the other team, I'd be a little bit hurt, I'm going to be honest with you.
Be disappointing,
I might cry.
Yeah.
I might have cried.
And blue is the color of Cubed as well, so...
Blue also wins like every year pretty much. I actually had to change the color from orange to, from like, I think it was red or like something to orange just because to see if orange will end up winning. So,
oh god, yeah. Touch wood, I'm sure it will be another great year for blue.
For legal reasons, that is not an actual fact. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I don't know. Maybe they did, but this is a joke. I said it as a joke.
Yeah, I've heard it's definitely not rigged, so that's fine.
Exactly. No, but I'm not actually doing anything on a Saturday, I realize, but I love KubeCon every single year. I'm really excited for it to be running it back and like so heavily active in it because I'm a guest this year as well. Sorry, that's what I forgot to mention. Instead of being sponsored
really cool.
I'm a guest, so I'm not doing a meet and greet because like I'm gonna be real, I think it's really, really cool what you guys do with the meet and greets, and I think it is really fun. I feel like I'd be a little bit awkward typing in a public chat when people like meeting me, so I'm like not for me personally, but everything else is gonna be really fun. The live stream is also always really cool, and you're kicking off with two Inside MC related things on the Friday. Like it's insane. It's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you've basically taken over the launch of Cubed, which is giving me mega. And yeah, I think being a guest is really good fun. As I say, you do have the opportunity, you know, signing autograph books and doing all the bits.
Yeah, that's
so
it, yeah.
Hopefully, you know, you're going to get a lot of people coming up and saying hi.
I mean, I was there last year and a lot of people are taking a screenshot on our booth, and like, no offense, Shiny Dude, because I know you built the booth and you are amazing. Don't think our booth is as good as last year, but the issue is we couldn't copy last year because we didn't want to just do the same thing again. It's still a good booth. It's just like, I don't know, I feel like there's more like time and kind of quality put in. I'm still satisfied with it. We just have been so busy. We just haven't had the time to like fully go in on it, sadly.
We have had some people. There are some people that year on year, potentially 5-6 years in a row, have block for block built an identical copy of their booth every year, which I kind of love. Like, fair enough.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I just, not for me personally. I will say there are some very cool people who have come on the podcast who have booths at KubeCon. I won't spoil it for anyone who's listening on the day of release, but just go check around, go see people. There's also like some really cool, like, fun games. What games are gonna be this year?
So I guess I was about to say inside look, but it is coming out on the day of the event, so people will find out very shortly afterwards.
Technically, yeah, it's a 3-hour early access if they've listened like early from the upload. Yeah.
So we're bringing back PvP and Spleef, as you'd expect. We are bringing back boat racing, which the map, as of today, of the time of recording, we're currently working on. It should be faster and more fun than last year.
Okay.
Flick Flack with Rasa is going to be back, which will be mega. And we are bringing in TNT Run as well this year.
Oh, okay. Proper OGs.
Yeah, exactly. So that'll all be in the hall. And then I believe, and there might be a couple of changes to this depending on exactly what maps we choose, because we're currently having an internal debate on them. Might be the Dropper, and there's some other parkour maps. I believe there's some Parkour Hero or Parkour Paradise maps that we're looking at. So people have got something to grind over the weekend.
I remember there's that one parkour that happens. I think it's always on the special effects like thing where every time someone completes it, like £5 gets donated or something. It's just so horrible. It's horrible to do.
So Rasa have their part. It's the Rasa parkour.
Sorry, apologies.
Yeah, so that's at their booth. But actually, speaking of that, we also do have the King of the Hill back this year, as we do every year.
Yes.
Which will be bang in the middle of the game section. So there's lots of parkour, lots of PvP, Spleef, TNT Run, Flak, and boat racing.
Any new things this year? Oh, sorry, go on.
Well, TNT Run is a new game for Cubed, and obviously the new parkour maps. The boat racing map, as I said, is going to be completely new. The PvP arena has been completely revamped, so that'll be good fun. And we're adding a few little twists to games like Spleef to make them just a little bit spicier. I won't say too much, but it's a bit more than just traditional Spleef.
I'm not sure if Cubed already has this. Sorry, my poor memory here. Is there achievements that you can do, like achievement hunting?
Yes, you know, it's taken a few forms over the years, but we always love, kind of the reason behind it is to encourage people to explore. So, you know, go visit all the different booths, get you know, meet a guest, get your autograph done. There's lots of kind of mini content games that you can do there to earn, you know, cosmetic rewards, and you know, you do get rewards from doing it, but I think the main reason is purely to get people to explore and see all the cool stuff that's around the venue.
I remember last year, like, visiting the booths, like, it was I missed a booth or it just wasn't loading. It was frustrating me so much. I was like, I want to complete this achievement. I don't know.
Yes, I think we are making it slightly easier for people to, because again, I was the same, and I was cheating because I could fly, but at speed 10, but it took me ages to find that last booth that I hadn't visited, and when I did, it was really satisfying. So for people that could only walk at normal speed, I felt really bad. I'm hoping this year we should have it sorted, so it's a little bit easier to find the last one if you're stuck.
Nice. What about the convention center? Are we going back to the same convention center this year?
We will be back at the same convention center. You know, we used to change it up every year, and that, I'll be honest, was an absolute nightmare. Changing the theme every year and changing the build was a lot of work. So, you know, there's been a few years where we've kept the same convention center but changed the theme or upgraded it slightly. I think with the Cube City in the last few years, we've really found our home, mainly because Tom and I, who built the city, don't want to build it from scratch again. But no, we really enjoy expanding it every year. And obviously, we've just brought in a new convention center design last year. We've kept the city but changed the building. So we're going to settle into it for another year. We've made a few small changes around. Mainly, you know, all the changes are to do with the layout of the booths and the games, just to give people a better experience and to make sure that every booth that's there feels like they can be seen.
I had a really good location for my booth last year. It was like, you go in and it's like to straight on the left side as soon as you enter. So I'm hoping I got a good location for my booth again, because it was really easy to make the map. But we'll see where we're located.
Yeah, I say every booth is, you know, you can teleport straight to the booth that you want, which is great. I'm, you know, hoping, time depending, leading into the weeks up to it, I would love to actually get a list of all the exhibitors up on the website and be able to show people where they are.
It
will be cool, just so people can really find their booth. And especially so, you know, people like yourself who've got a booth can actually just post it and show people where they are, because you know, get as many people
last year.
This is what
was created last year.
Let's have a look. I love that people are creating stuff as well. That's really cool. Oh yeah, yeah, nice. That is, so, I mean, that is a prime spot, isn't it?
You know, if you want to, what's it called? Put me in the same location. I don't mind. You know, we were like literally right at the very front. So like, if you know, if you have any influence on that, there's no pressure. But it wouldn't be bad.
I mean, I'll give you a slight spoiler that Sebasaurus, one of our team, and myself are actually putting all the booths in tomorrow. Tomorrow, so it will be Seb and I personally doing it.
Well, if you want to make my life easier, so I can just pretty much use the same graphic and update the image, I wouldn't mind.
I due to the updated layout, I can't put it there, but I will give you a lovely spot. Do not worry. And
right by the entrance, like not the entrance of the convention. I mean, like, you know, when you go into the rooms, you know, the big entrance into the rooms.
Yeah, I know, like, exactly what you mean. Yeah.
Right there, so that people walk in and be like, "Oh my god, it's Inside MC." I'm really taking over CubedCon this year, aren't I?
Honestly, sounds like you're putting out more content than us at this rate.
Hey, look, if you want me to next year, come down to the office and be involved in the live stuff. I would actually love to. Like, I know I'm making it as a jokey way, but dead serious, if there was ever like a place for me to come down and do something in person, I'd absolutely love to do it.
No, like, generally, as a PSA for anyone listening as well that is, you know, doing content in the Minecraft community, we are really focusing on the live stream. You know, ever since we've moved the stream production, we've had an office for many years, but we've always done, I guess, virtual live stream where we've had one computer with a face cam at most, and that's it. So now we've kind of really gone to town with the level of production, having the studio space with it's almost like a TV studio, really, with the big LED wall at the back, and we've had people in person. So, you know, we're kind of leveling that up a little bit this year, just trying to like tweak the things that didn't quite go as perfectly as they could have done last year. And I'm really hoping in future years, when we really push the live stream, we can invite more people to come in, do in-person segments, because, you know, without sharing too much, the office isn't far from London in the UK, so it's easy to get to, and it's so much fun doing
and
stuff
London
in person
based, so I could easily come in.
The offer is extended this year if you want to come by one of the days.
Are you being serious?
More than welcome to. Yeah, genuinely.
Okay. What day can I come? Probably be working on Saturday. I'll finish at 1 PM on the Saturday in London. Hold up. We're gonna do this on the podcast right now, but I'll cut out the information about it. Can you DM me like where it is right now, and we'll check how far it is on for me on Google Maps? This is staying in the podcast, but any specific details will be cut out, like any name drop details. Okay. Hold up. Let me see how hard it'd be to get there from work.
There you go. That's how far it is from the station, like it's a direct train, and then the office is a 5-minute walk from the station to us.
Wait, that word, is it missing in it? That's missing in, right? Sorry, not to pick you up on it.
Oh yes, it is. Okay. Yeah,
so if I was to leave work on Saturday at 1 PM and come straight there.
Yep.
Hold up, let me check. Part at because Saturday I've not got anything going on at CubeCon Saturday.
Yeah, and I say obviously trains however late they run, but the stream runs late, so
it would take me an hour and 4 minutes to get there to the station, which is completely.
I mean,
I get there at about.
I forget how big London is sometimes, that it takes that long to get across London. But wow,
I'd have to get two trains. I won't dock where I work, but. I'm so down. Wait, can I actually come up on a Saturday?
The last couple of years, we've invited a few people, and we do have previous staff and other people that have dipped in. Like, a great example is Beatbox. He might be able to come to the office this year. I'm not sure. He's a busy man, but you know, he first just came as a visitor, and you know, that was 2 years ago. And last year, he was one of the leading people on the stream, especially for the boat race and other content. So we love having people, especially content creators, come down. And, you know, there's a very good chance that George will bring you on the stream for half an hour or so just to chat and play some games if there's a gap.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll come on a Saturday after work. I'll finish work at 1 PM. If I don't finish work at 1 PM, because they might be at me on closing, then I won't be able to, sadly. But, I mean, actually, I technically could. I just wouldn't get there till 4:30. Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, our stream on the Saturday, UK time, is going to start between 12 and 1, I believe, off the top of my head. And we'll be running through till, you know, like midnight, 2 in the morning. So, obviously, you have to catch the train back. yeah, exactly. But no, stay as late as you want.
Hold on, I'm gonna DM you the train just again, just so I don't possibly dox myself. Do you know if that takes Oyster, or do I have to buy a ticket for that?
I don't believe Oyster extends as far as we are.
I'll buy a ticket tonight then, and I'll just request a Yardi finish.
Yeah, I think Oyster might get you all but like one stop away. Annoyingly, I double check it, but yeah, I don't use it because I don't obviously go into London too much.
I just realised where it's telling me to go. Is there not a better way to get? I thought there was a better way to get there.
You can.
There is a better way to get there.
I'll say if you're anywhere near the wonderful New Elizabeth line, it takes you 90% of the way.
Yeah. There's a better way of getting there. I figured out. Okay.
People are going to be geo hunting the hell out of the office.
Well, no, because the Elizabeth line only takes you into certain parts, and also you haven't said which way it is, so like the Elizabeth goes to like in four different locations. It stops at five different locations sometimes, so
yeah absolutely. I would love to see them get this though, because I'm sure someone will get it.
Well, okay, cool. All right, well, if you're listening to this podcast, if no matter what shift I'm on, actually, because the latest I finish is at 3:30, you might not see me on the stream, but just know on Saturday I'm going to be at the office. This is actually like legit. You're not going to come off the podcast and be like, actually you can't come, sorry, I was just doing it as a bit. Like, I can actually come.
No, genuinely, I think this year more than ever we're you know, having fun doing the live stream, you know, especially this. I think if it was the Friday, I would have been like, oh, it's a stressful day, but Saturday, yeah, everything should be lovely. So
is the Inside MC takeover, what the heck.
yeah absolutely, that needs to be its own little segment on the stream. You'll have a little graphic.
Oh my god, I'm so down. All right, cool. Well, that makes me even more excited for QtCon. I mean, as if I wasn't already, but I'm more now. I love what you guys do. It's so cool how passionate you are about it.
It's just good fun to do. I do look forward to it every year, as hard work as it is to kind of bring everything together. You know, a team of volunteers, everyone is mega busy, everyone's got different schedules, so it's definitely a challenge, but you know, when we get to the office every year, it all feels really worthwhile. And you know, people like yourself and anyone else that comes along, we always love, at the end of the day, it's just having fun. As much as there is a great cause and everything else, we're in it to just enjoy ourselves as much as we can while raising money for charity.
What are some of your favorite QtCon memories? If like, I kind of put you on the spot here, but if you have any.
It
can just be something you thought of when I said it.
The one that I always go back to was Cubed 2013. We had a different office in the UK, in Berkshire, and you know, we were doing a 24/7 stream back in the day, which was horrible, to be honest, because the scheduling was just a nightmare. And I distinctly remember doing a shift, like the, you know, the early morning shift at 6 a.m. I'd been streaming for a few hours back when I used to be on the live stream at Cubed. I was wearing some silly onesie. Everyone else was asleep and had been for hours, and I was just doing this shift. And, you know, I'd just been playing games for a while. There were a decent few people in game, you know, I guess because of the American audience, people were still awake, but I didn't quite clock the volume of people that were watching the stream. And 6 a.m, I thought I had maybe like 20, 30 people listening and watching, but it was actually over 500 people were still watching me.
Oh my God.
Which, yeah, when I looked and I checked, it was just absolutely insane. And I'd been sat there, face cam on, in this daft onesie, absolutely shattered because you'd been up for about 12 hours. And yeah, it's just a lot of fun. And then, you know, no one obviously believed me afterwards when I told them, so it was fine.
that's insane. What the heck? What about other ones? Like maybe like a specific moment, or just like, I don't know, like a specific creator that you got on who's been a fan of, who showed up or whatever.
I think probably the best one, is the same year actually, really, that happened, was 2012. We were quite friendly with a creator back in the day called Vacon, and he was friends with in the Littlewood. And, you know, we'd been talking leading up to the event about maybe getting in the Littlewood involved, and we weren't sure if it was going to happen, if it was. And then all of a sudden, he joins the server with Totally Toby, and, you know, they're recording a video, and they come on and do a panel, and then, you know, that just explodes. Our website crashes because we've got so many thousands of people coming to the website because he's posted a video on YouTube, like literally a 30-second video saying he's coming to the event, he's live now. Just is the first, you know, big creator we ever got, and that was insane. And midway through his panel, we see some messages in chat, again 2012, of this guy DMing us going, oh, hi, can I be a special guest? Da, da, da. And then all of a sudden start seeing the messages in chat of all of his fans going, butter, butter, butter. And it's Skyders Minecraft who's joined as well because he's seen in the little words. Genuinely, it just exploded out of nowhere. And that really leapfrogged us into 2013, where we had people like Dan the Diamond Minecart, we had Jerome SF, we had, a huge crowd of what were like the YouTubers in 2012, 2013. It was just mega. And I think that in the Littlewood really was the one that kind of kicked that off for us.
The times have changed a fair bit then, is what you're saying.
It's mental, really, because I think especially, and it's something that I would love to push if we could, is foreign language speaking creators. Like, obviously, TikTok creators, there are so many and they're huge. The community for like Minecraft in Spanish is, there are creators with millions of subscribers. But what I tend to find, and again, I'm not too versed in the Minecraft community now, but is that, you're not finding the groups of creators with, between 1 and 10 million all playing as groups together. But you've got so many creators in the tens to hundreds of thousands. And there are so many that, we find new ones every year just by happy accident, and yet they've got an audience of, hundreds of thousands. It's insane.
Yeah. I think it's just like, I think nowadays with content creation, it's also just hard to stream a convention. Like, it's really cool and the convention itself is amazing. But I think if you're like this massive creator who loads of people are going to come on and just constantly follow you around, you run this, you partially run this risk as well of like the chat. Like, I know you guys have filters on and like, and it's really good.
It is dangerous.
Creators aren't going to fully know about that is the problem. So.
No. And like, again, the algorithm can be quite punishing for YouTube and other platforms if you don't just post the content you always do. Yeah, I think I love people that come along, and I'd love to find ways to make it better for people every year. I think it's great for people that do live stream because it's live engaging content, and maybe it's a nice thing to dip into for about an hour of your live stream, then continuing on with your kind of regularly scheduled broadcast. But back in the day, you could post anything and everything and the views would come, and now it is hard to be able to convince creators to come and actually post about it. But we always appreciate the ones that do, and we're always open to ideas on how to provide the content that they need for them to not to make it worth their while, because they love meeting the fans, but so it doesn't actually damage them if they post about it.
Yeah, exactly. I think the majority of that is through streams. It's just they've got to figure out ways to make the stream entertaining, and I think the majority of that will be through playing the games like the Ice Boat Racing and stuff. Like, I remember
Ice Boat Racing is great.
2024, sadly, every single time I hopped on, the Ice Boat Racing wasn't really working properly. But in 2023, I know like the majority of my streams on cubes. I think I went live for like 4 hours at one point just playing Ice Boat Racing.
So. Yeah, it's honestly, it's fun, it's addictive. It's faster this year, and touch wood, the bugs have all been ironed out, because it was a bit touch and go last year. But I've not played the track yet. I've only seen pictures, and I'm kind of waiting till I can get stuck behind the keyboard for again about 4 hours and enjoy it.
On the live stream as well.
You'll be on the live stream alongside people.
I mean you on the live stream, doing Ice Boat Racing.
Oh, yes, I probably will be a little bit. We'll see how it goes.
I guess moving on from Cube, did you have anything else you wanted to say about CubesCon? Oh, no.
Not specifically.
We've done a pretty good job of covering it, or no?
Yeah, we've said a lot about Cubes, obviously where it came from, what it's been doing the last few years. I don't really have any answers about where it's going, because we're seeing about... Yeah, exactly. We want to change things up a little bit for next year, but we've only just started the conversation. So we'll see where that goes.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. This part won't be as long, because obviously I cared to learn about you, but a lot of the people came here for CubesCon. But regardless,
of course.
So you made content creation, and you mentioned it yourself, back in 11 years ago now on YouTube. You haven't uploaded in 11 years. You made the like, at the time, very popular, like, Minecraft Bridges, the like, survival games and stuff like that. Like, you had the classic 2012, 2013 Minecraft thumbnails as well. How come you don't make content to this day? What stopped? Why stopped? Why did it stop?
Sorry. Well, so George and I, so originally, AirTV, which is now my username, was the brand that George and I both used. And then George decided to go by Tekkon, and I just adopted adopted AirTV as my own brand. We originally were a pair as a YouTube channel. We started as a Minecraft building channel, so we'd do time-lapsing because we loved watching Minecraft time-lapses back in the day. Then we decided, you know, you couldn't get a lot of content out doing time-lapsing, so we branched out into other types of content, as you say, like the Let's Plays and whatnot. And, you know, George really was the driving force behind that. He was really into the editing and the content creation and doing that type of content. And then, you know, as Cubed took off, we put more of our time into that, and the YouTube channel kind of slipped by the side a little bit. George, being, you know, really the driving force behind creating that type of content, started making some on his own channel and branching out into other games as well. So it just kind of slipped over the years. I've always really enjoyed the building. Back in the day, I was part of the Mithrintia build team, which was the original build team for Hypixel. So if you ever go and play, you know, some Hypixel Quake maps or some of their some of the early adventure games, adventure maps, I was a builder, or arguably the main builder on a couple of them, which was cool. But just the content side of things was never my front. And, you know, I think that kind of echoes in what I'm doing today. I work with production, but I'm very much behind the camera rather than a presenter.
Why? I actually don't know what I was going to go on with this question. Oh, that's it. Sorry. AirTV, a bit more on that. Like, where did that name come from specifically? I know you adopted it, but I mean originally.
This is really bad. We were a massive fan of the YouTube channel Fire UK. So we, without remorse, just copied it, basically. Even our original logo was very, very similar to theirs. And we changed it a couple of times over the years because it was very, very derivative. And we started out making Minecraft time-lapses. We were inspired directly by them. By the time that I kind of adopted it as my personal username, Fire UK had kind of stopped making content, and it just stuck. So there we go. That's how I've not felt the need to change it over 10 years later.
Nice and simple. Fair play.
Yeah.
Well, with that then, I don't think I have any more questions. I think we've done an amazing job of covering everything. You've gone ready for the weekend. Okay, actually, let's make a prediction. We haven't done a prediction. Yep. So last year you raised 15K. Year before, how much did you raise?
I think it was about 12.
How much do you think you're going to raise this year? We can give a... I'll let you have a 4K gap, to be generous.
I'm going to be tentative because last year was an absolutely incredible year. I'm going to say it's going to be in a similar ballpark to last year of 15K and just above, because, I will admit we started late this year, so we've got slightly less of a run up, but we've put a lot of wild cards into the live stream section to really push the donations with the IRL segments. I have a feeling a few of those might be going on Saturday when you appear at the office. We'll see how those go, because again, those IRL segments are what took it up from 12 to 15 last year. So, you know, if we've got 4K leeway, I'll say 15K, because then I'll get 19 and we'll win.
I want to say 14 to 18, but I'm also really confident you could go up to 20K this year.
The goal really was 20. We started late this year because everyone being a volunteer is mega busy, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. So we've got, you know, a bit less of a run up, but our booths have been incredible this year. Our VIPs have been incredible. We've, before the events even started, we've almost got as many VIPs as we had for the whole of last year, which is incredible. Those donations and, you know, sponsors have been incredible. And, you know, I'm interested to see how crazy everyone's going to go during the event weekend itself.
20K. We got this. You got this.
20K. 20K. Everyone's that's got the target. This.
Let's go.
We honestly, I hope we smash it, because
you will.
Everyone's
it's not
put
about hope.
A lot of effort.
I say positive. It's not about hope. You positive. Are going to smash it.
We will smash 20K. You've heard it here.
There we go. Well, with that being said, then that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. It's a very short one this week, but it gets the job done.
It is. I mean, we're both knackered as we've started on, so I think we've absolutely smashed out 45 minutes or so.
Yeah, we've been recording before edits. 48. Oh, yeah, you're right.
48. There we go.
Before I do the outro here, though, I always like to give this opportunity for you to promote yourself. But I feel like in this case, you're probably going to use it to promote Cubed. So feel free, promote whatever you want in this segment here.
I will just shamelessly promote Cubed, as I have done the whole episode, and just say it's free. Come and get your ticket and just come along and give it a go. If you want to upgrade and donate to charity, absolutely, please do. That would be a mega. but just come and have a good time for free.
At the end of the day, and this is what I say about my own Inside MC events, if you can't donate, that's completely fine. But you showing up, you posting a screenshot of your booth on Twitter, even if that just gets one more person to find out KubeCon, that one person might get two people, and them two people might get four people, and then it's a chain, and then up to 16 people, maybe four of them donate. And it's like, you know, even if you don't think it, just showing up, just posting about it, even just the simplest of tweets, even if it gets zero likes, right, it doesn't mean no one saw it. So
yeah, absolutely,
just come and have fun. Like Air said, it's completely free. It's a great convention. They put in a lot of effort, a lot of time into it, and you know, I'm vouching for it. So if you trust me, then hopefully you can enjoy it. So there you go. Well,
thank you very much. We're all looking forward to it, and it's going to be great to have you along on Saturday.
I'm actually shocked that you said yes. So I was just shooting my shot, but it actually worked. I'm very happy. We'll talk more about it on the podcast.
it's the chances you take, not the ones you don't. So there you go.
True. Yeah. Well, with that being said, then that sadly brings the end of this week's Inside MC. If you're listening at the time of release, go check out KubeCon. If you're not listening at the time of release, probably still go check out KubeCon, unless it's been a week because the server's most likely shut or shutting. But yeah, stay safe. Don't eat too much bread. If you're listening early, be tuned. Stay tuned. Maybe you might see me on Saturday. Maybe you won't. Who knows? I'll be live on the server at one point on my own channel regardless. So Insane Orbits. There we go. Peace. Really bad outro. Oh my God.